Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cenacle series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So again, blessed day today, blessed day every day for that matter. We're going to begin as we always do with prayer, and we're going to be using a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I do see Mother in the Mother House, so I'm going to ask them to unmute, and I'm also going to look at them and not look at me. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello.
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 He even said that. Oh, it sounds a little tonally, I guess. Maybe the microphone is not the default microphone. It might be your computer mic that's picking it up. Maybe the switch, you know, when you go in the bottom left-hand corner, when you see the microphone icon, if you click on that, it'll tell you which microphone you're using, whether it be the internal computer microphone or the external one that you're holding in your hand. That's usually my dilemma when that happens.
How is this?
Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect, Mother.
She didn't have the right one hooked up.
I do it all the time. You know why? Because you have it set up, but then when you boot up the computer again, it usually defaults to its internal microphone, which, again, we know is inadequate. Well, Mother and sisters, thank you again for coming on today. Again, just spending this time and how busy you all are. And, you know, I like to begin with our catechism, which is a great place to start. I know we've repeated this to nauseam, but we cannot say it enough. It's Article 507. I'm just going to say an excerpt, a quoted excerpt of it, if I may. At once, Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. End quote. Amen. And, you know, with that, Mother, we just went through the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas yesterday. And I'd like to lead in with two quotes of St. Thomas, if I may, and then turn it over to you. The first one is, quote, "We never give more honor to Jesus than when we honor his mother. And we honor her simply and solely to honor him all the more perfectly." End quote. So we can never be too Mary. In fact, St. Maximian Kolbe tells us that never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did. I just had to throw that in. Second quote, I think, is really apropos and appropriate, especially with this entrance of the divine will, again, given the task of disposing the children, us, by Jesus to the Virgin Mother. And St. Louis said, Mary brought Jesus into this world. It will also be Mary that will bring Jesus to this world. End quote. So it's Our Lady bringing our Lord, her Son, to us. Again, he is the one leading this charge, this redo over. I don't think that's proper English, but it's a redo over. It really is. We've had several do overs, but this is the do over of do overs. God's bringing us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. And you know, Mother, another thing that I came across last evening in volume, you know, volume one is so incredible because remember, volume one is really volume two. After Louisa wrote volume two, the confessor said, "Wait, I need to know how you got here." So she went back and she sort of wrote volume one. And in volume one, it has no dates because she couldn't, she remembered what Jesus said, but she couldn't remember when he said it. So in volume one, this is very appropriate for us. And again, he was speaking to Jesus, but he's also speaking to us. And this is what our blessed Lord said, quote, "What you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials. This is why I have come, to dispose your heart and to fortify it. Now you shall tell me everything you have gone through, your doubts and fears, and all of your difficulties, that I may teach you how to conduct yourself during my absence." End quote. So, you know, Mother, he's giving us actually an addendum to the sacrament of reconciliation. You know, we can't go into the confessional and speak to the priest about all our fears, all our doubts. Otherwise, no one else will be able to go to confession except us. We have to confess our sins with a contrite heart. But Jesus is saying here, let him know what difficulties we've had up to this point. And he's going to fortify us. He's going to strengthen us in order to overcome those obstacles and even the greater obstacles, as he alluded to here, which are going to come. And I think are in the midst of us right now, just sort of getting traction. So again, it's going to be difficult, but we remember what St. Cyril of Jerusalem said, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. And with that being said, hello, Mother.
Hello. Yes. Yes, the church is, we have to be so grateful to belong to the church, that we are in the true church founded by Christ. We're so privileged that we should pray for all of our brothers and sisters who haven't embraced the church, that they could come into it. But we've got so many beautiful gifts, all the sacraments, teachings of the church, and read the catechism, because you can have different priests, different bishops, different cardinals telling you different things. You only know the truth by reading and studying the catechism. There's confusion out there right now. There's lack of unity in teachings. And with the crazy things happening in the world right now, you need to know the catechism. Now, you may not want to go through that big, thick catechism, but you can get a Baltimore catechism or whatever online if you want to find those. But to know what the church teaches, I was just reading here in volume 33. This was February 24th, 1935. Our Lord was saying, "Blessed daughter, you must know that we gifted the creature with reason so that she would know the good and the evil that she did. And in every act that she could do, if good, she would be gifted with new merit, new grace, new beauty, and greater union with her creator. If bad, she would endure a suffering from it. That suffering makes felt the weakness and distance from he who had created her." So we know when we're doing right. We know when we're doing wrong. God gave us reason to know and a conscience to let us know. And we have to have a firm, strong will to go against our inclinations, what we would like to do. We must know, we must do always what God wants us to do. In order to live in his will, you must do his will. So first of all, you have to know what is his will. You know what his will is, but what the church teaches. Whoever you have to be obedient to in your life, it may be your husband or whatever, as long as that person is telling you to do things according to the teaching of the church, nothing against what God would want you to do, you should obey. But you know, we have to try to be firm in our in dying our own will so that we can always do his. And it takes prayer. We go to Our Lady. You talked about Our Lady just now. Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces, co-redemptrix. And she will take us by the hand and lead us to our Lord, lead us to living in his divine will. But she's a great mother. And, you know, all you have to do is call upon her when you have temptations, when you're weak, when you're afraid you're going to fall, and she will be there to help you. Pray your rosaries every day. That will give you grace. Stations of the Cross is a great way. I was just reading Maria Sima, the little book about Maria Sima, who souls in purgatory would come to and on a daily basis asking for prayers. And she said that Stations of the Cross help us to overcome temptations, help us to become strong if we do them daily. I mean, you can do a quick one, just maybe 5 or 10 minutes long, going to each station and just saying an Our Father and meditating on Our Glory Be, whatever you want to say, meditating on that particular station. And she says it's a great way to help souls come out of purgatory. The rosary, the Stations of the Cross, of course, the Mass is the greatest thing to help get souls out of purgatory. It goes on to say, reason is the eye of the soul and light, that while the creature makes her way, it lets her know the beauty of her good works, the fruit of her sacrifices, and it knows how to torture her when she does evil. Reason has this virtue. If the creature operates good, she feels herself at her place of honor. And as king of herself, she has order. And in virtue of the merit that she acquires. She feels strength and peace. And if she does evil, she feels completely disordered and slave of her own evils. How often have we felt that when we've done wrong, whatever it may be, whether it's lack of charity or whatever we've expressed, you don't think of it. Sometimes you're thoughtless at the moment, and then later you think about it and you feel such remorse. You feel so bad about whatever you did. Of course, you're not as culpable if you didn't premeditate it and didn't purposely do it. But, you know, in order to overcome those weaknesses, we need to pray much and focus on God. This is a great time to grow in great holiness. God has given us so many graces right now. As the world and the church is being crucified and purified, we're getting so many graces to grow in holiness. You see people growing everywhere. You see on internet all these wonderful programs, EWTN, wonderful programs to bring people to God, to help you grow in faith. The Divine Will Writings is the greatest way. This is the greatest gift. So I encourage you to just read every day, at least read 30 minutes a day, and you'll see how your life changes. He goes on to say, now, if the creature does good acts in my divine will, in virtue of the reason that she has, we give her the merit of divine acts. The merit is given to her according to what she knows and according to what the human will wants to operate. If in ours, she elevates herself so much that she does not remain in the depths of human actions, although good, but she comes into our divine volition, and as sponge, she dives within and soaks her acts with light, with sanctity, with love, in a way that her act disappears in ours, and our divine act reappears. There with justice, the divine merit must flow. And since in our divine will, she loses the human prestige, one thinks that the creature does nothing, but it is not true. If it operates, it is the virtue of the thread of the human volition that it has received in its hands that forms the triumph and its conquest over the act of the creature and of the human reason that voluntarily comes to ceding its received rights as homage and mastery to he who has received her. So all you have to do these acts in divine will is call God into the act and really believe it, really have faith. That's why it's so important to read these beautiful truths, because you have to have faith in what he says is really true. And then it really happens. You have to really believe when you ask him to do anything in you, and you say that little prayer in the morning, you can say it in your own words if you'd like, just telling him that you want him to do everything in and through you throughout the day. Then throughout the day, calling him into your activities as a way to of thinking of him throughout the day over and over and over again. He wants us to be thinking of him continually. I was just reading that today in the Divine Will. He wanted Louisa just to be thoughtful of him always. And the more we pray, the more we are thoughtful of him throughout the day, the more we see him in everything around us. Goes on to say, and this is more than doing, because God has received the exchange for the most beautiful gifts that he gave to the creature, that is reason and will. With this, she gives us everything that she can give us. She recognizes us. She strips herself of herself. She loves us with pure love. And so much is our love that we clothe her with ourselves. We give her our works in a way that we and she can say we do it together. We will place each other in the conditions that the creature will not be able to do anything without our will. And so much is our goodness that even when the creature does good humanly, since reason always flows in good, we give her the human merit, because it is our usual way to not leave not even one good act of the creature without reward. One can say that we are all eyes over her in order to see in what we can reward her. So people don't see when you a divine act. God does the act in you. It looks like you're doing nothing. Louisa used to think she was doing nothing. She complained a couple of times, but I'm not doing anything. He says, but you're doing everything because I'm doing it in you. Because I'm doing it in you, it becomes divine. It becomes a divine act. And you die, you shrink, and you grow in humility, and then you grow in further than humility, your realization of your nothingness. And he gets bigger in you. The more you call him in everything you do, the more you shrink, the littler you get, until you realize your nothingness, and the bigger and bigger and bigger he gets. And as that happens, your joy increases, your peace increases. You see him in yourself more. And you see him in everybody around you. When you pray, go into yourself. Pray into the Trinity who lives within you. He wants you to be thoughtful of his presence within. And the more you do that, the more you realize his presence within and that he's doing everything in and through you, the more you see him in everybody else. I mean, every time we breathe, we should say, thank you for the breath. God is in everything. He's in every breath that you breathe. We should say, I mean, every breath can be an I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. Thank you for that breath. You would die without each breath that he gives you. So every one of your heartbeats, you would die if your heart stopped beating. So everything is gift from God. And he just wants to us to realize that, be focused on that, realize his presence all around us, in us, before us. I like that little Irish saying, what God goes before me, God is behind me, God is everywhere, you know. And so we have to kind of realize that. And he's in all the gifts he gave us in creation. And redemption and sanctification is very important to do rounds in divine will. Put your I love you throughout the day and just things that you're seeing. Or you go to Mass and the sacrament of the Eucharist, you know, just put your I love you in every host that ever was and ever will be with the presence of Jesus, you know, and every sacrament, baptism, you know, go through all of the sacraments and thank God for all of these gifts that he's given us in the church.
You know, a couple of things, Mother. I smile every time I read that when Jesus tells Louisa, you look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. Sort of like a paradigm shift of like with the scribes and the Pharisees. I mean, they always looked like they were doing something for the faith, but, you know, inside they really weren't living it. He wants us to live it as opposed to just showing it. Second point, when you mentioned about, you know, wives listen to your husbands, I wish my wife was in the room, but she wasn't. So I may have to ask you to repeat that on another program. And last but not least, you mentioned about the catechism. And, you know, the catechism is rather voluminous. On our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, we have a page entitled CCC, the Catholic Catechism of the Church, and the Divine Will. And on this page, you're going to see maybe 40 or 50 entries, articles of the catechism that really speaks to the divine will. Of course, we know Article 66, no new public revelations. We know Article 67, which defines the role of the mystic, but there are a whole bunch of things. And once you read the catechism of the church, where it really is positioned to embrace this gift of the divine will, you say, you know, the church really is ready for this. It's only a matter of time. So it's beautiful. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Hello, sister. Kumusta ka na?
Okay lang po. Salamat. Okay, well, I was just really excited listening to Mother talking about all the divine will because we also listen to... It's just so exciting time. It is a very difficult time, but it's a very exciting time. We've been listening to Our Lady of Good Success, a talk that was delivered by Father Chris Ehler, and how our Blessed Mother had foreseen this 400 years ago.
Yeah, maybe people can Google it. It's excellent. Yeah. It's excellent to tell you what's happening now and everything that Our Lady told this Sister Mariana in Ecuador happened already, except one thing. And that's a purification of the church, which comes the divine will then with that, you know. But it's very, very wonderful talk by Father Ehler. Yeah, so Ehler. How would they Google?
Just for, yeah, yeah, just go Our Lady of Good Success, and then you just Father Chris Ehler, A-L-A-R. I think that's how it's spelled.
I'll send it to you, Peter.
Yes. But anyway.
Okay, thank you. That purification too.
You know why I remember that when Mother was sharing earlier was because she was talking about how difficult time is and, you know, how we deserve justice, you know, that all these crazy things. But then this talk, Our Blessed Mother gave us big hope, and the hope is in the divine will. And I would just like to quickly do this because there's a sisters who want to share also. But before I forget, I wanted to say earlier, Peter, you said nobody could love Jesus more than Blessed Mother, but nobody could love the Blessed Mother more than Jesus. So just for our plug-in.
Yeah, St. Louis de Montfort said that. Actually, I'm just repeating him. But yeah, and we have to remember that too, sister. It's really important.
Yes, yes. And so my sharing is in Volume 2, August 10, 1899. And this is about justice. The title is about justice, fruits of justice, truth and simplicity, how Jesus is wounded by simplicity. I'll start somewhere in middle. Jesus says to Louisa, my justice has been withheld for a long time. And with reason, it wants to take revenge on the creatures who have dared to destroy every justice within themselves. Ah, yes, I find no justice in man. He has counterfeited himself completely in his words, in his works and steps. Everything is deception. Everything is fraud. Anything is injustice. Everything is injustice, which has penetrated into his heart in such a way that inside and out, he is but a bilge of vices. Poor man, how you have reduced yourself. While saying this, he was swinging the rod he had in his hand in the act of wounding man. I said to him, Lord, what are you doing? And he, do not fear. Do you see this ball of fire? It will cause fire, but will only strike the evil. The good will receive no harm. And I added, O Lord, who is good? We are all evil. I beg you not to look at us, but at your infinite mercy. In this way, you will be placated for all. And I when I think about this, I thought about our blessed Lord given to Sister Faustina, the Divine Mercy devotion. And then it continued here. After this, he added, my daughter, justice is truth. Just as I am eternal truth, and I do not deceive, nor can I deceive, in the same way, the soul who possesses justice makes truth shine in all of her actions. Therefore, since she knows by experience the true light of truth, if someone wants to deceive her, since that light which she feels within herself is missing, she immediately recognizes the deceit. And so it happens that with this light of truth, she deceives neither herself nor her neighbor, nor can she be deceived. The fruit produced by this justice and by this truth is simplicity, which is another quality of my being. Being simple, so much so that I penetrate everywhere. There is nothing that can prevent me from penetrating inside of it. I stop here because this reminded me of what Mother sharing earlier also about how do we know about the divine will and where do we find it? And part of this is the truth, and the truth is in our church, in our Catholic church, in the catechism. That's why we really need to know our church, because if we don't know ignorance, we can be deceived easily. So we know that the church is true. And so this is what we do. And also reminded me, Mother mentioned about, you know, do acts and rounds, and which is very powerful. But it reminded me of a scripture verse which says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, can enter the kingdom of heaven. So even though Jesus says simple, it's not the same as simplistic. Simplistic is when we cut corners, you know, we pick and choose, we like to believe. But simplicity means to the whole truth. It's not like picking and choose which one we like. I just wanted to do this. I don't want to do that. No, we still have to do everything we need to do as good Christians. Practice charity in and out of season. And I continue here. I penetrate into heaven and into the abysses, into good and into evil. But my being, which is most simple, by penetrating even into evil, does not get dirty. Even more, it does not deceive the highest shadow. In the same way, through justice and truth, gathering this beautiful fruit of simplicity within herself, the soul penetrates into heaven. She enters into hearts that lead them to me. She penetrates into everything that is good. And if she finds herself with sinners and sees the evil that they do, she does not get dirty, because being simple, she immediately brushes it off without receiving any harm. Simplicity is so beautiful that my heart is wounded, and one gaze alone of a simple soul, she is admiration of angels and men. So here we go. We are surrounded with all of these evils in the world. But if you really, truly love the Lord, because this is what moves God, love God with all of our heart. And then we do the acts and rounds in divine will and all the things that the church teaches, don't pick and choose what we like. And then we don't get contaminated with everything else. We will continue to have peace, joy, and love no matter what.
Amen. Sister, can you just repeat the passage that you just read? I'm getting questions on the chat line.
Okay, it's August 10, 1899. And I think it's volume 2.
Great. And you know, that what you were talking about also reminds me of volume 11, May 18th, 1915, when Jesus speaks about his divine justice. He says, quote, the divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside. I place the souls who live completely in my will on earth in the same condition as the blessed in heaven. Therefore, live in my will and fear nothing. Sisters?
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hi. Maddalena, Sister Maddalena, you were talking about simplicity, and you read how beautiful is simplicity, and it came out in my mind how everyone likes baby and kids because they're simple, and it's so true. The simplicity is always it's a beauty. And I want to read this passage from volume 29, October 8th, 1931, that talks about redoing the taking the acts of the saints and the Virgin Mary and Jesus. The mother was talking about the importance of the acts, and this passage, it really, I like it because it say how important it is to redo the acts. So I won't start from the beginning, but it say, "My daughter, listen to the admirable secrets of my will. If the creature wants to find that everything that beautiful, good, and holy has been done in the whole history of the world by me, by the celestial mama, and by all the saints, she must enter into the divine will. In it, everything is found in act. As you were paying attention to each act, remembering it, offering it, the saints who had done that act, that sacrifice, felt called by the pilgrim soul and saw his act palpitating again on earth, and therefore doubled the glory to his creator and to himself. And you who were offering it, covered by the celestial dew of the good of that holy act, and according to the purpose noble and high with which it is offered, more intense than great is the glory and the good is produced. How many riches does my will possess? There are all my acts, those of the sovereign queen, that are all in waiting to be called, remembered, offered by the creature in order to duplicate the good for the benefit of creatures and to give us double glory. They want to be remembered, called in order to palpitate as new life in the midst of creatures. But because of lack of attention, there are some that die, some that struggle because of weakness, some that grow numb with cold, some that have nothing with which to satisfy their hunger." And when I was reading this passage, I found I was like, wow, this is so beautiful, because Jesus said that everything is all the acts are there, the acts that Jesus itself did, the acts of the Virgin Mary, of all the saints, they are there waiting to be taken from all of us. And if we redo that acts, I mean, I was thinking, like, if someone maybe has want to be close to a saint, but you don't feel like that closeness to the saint, and you want to be close, I was thinking maybe a way to get close to that saint is maybe doing acts of the life of that saint, and automatically you become closer to him. He will give you more graces. And and also, it's important here, it was saying that the more acts you do, you give double glory to God, and it's like a rain that will pour down again on you. So you do acts and you do good things because it goes again to give glory to God from the saints, but also you receive the effects, and all the world, all the people receive the effects. So in a way, we are also responsible for all the things that are happening in the world, because the more we do acts, and the more we can stop it. So it's doing acts in the divine will, as Mother always said, it's very, very important. And then later he said, "Moreover, there is no greater honor than that you can give to all heaven, that than offering their acts that they did on earth for the noble, most high, and sublime purpose that the kingdom, the divine will come upon earth." And this is, so the more acts we do, and more we get closer to for the divine will to come on earth. So doing act is very important, and we can do that all day long. We don't have to sit down or concentrate or do any specific thing. No, they come automatically with all the things that you do during the day, even just the one thing, and you do an act, and it's just a matter of habit. You just start to do it, and then you don't even realize, and you are probably doing act in the divine will.
That's right. So, you know, when we do it, it becomes natural, then it becomes our nature. And, you know, Mother talked about that early on, about, you know, constantly recalling the divine, while constantly recalling Jesus and our Blessed Mother. That's actually what Jesus says he wants to see. That's part of the ingredients in the product or the cupcake of the ardent desire. He says he wants us to crave his affections and tendencies. He wants our memory to constantly recall it. He wants our intelligence to constantly contemplate it. He wants us to think about being willing to sacrifice our life in order for the divine will to have supremacy over all. He wants us to have the proper knowledge. Do we have it? Have we emptied ourselves? All these questions, Jesus speaks to Louisa, and he's actually giving this information to us as well. Father Inez, he plucked out of all the volumes. He put it into a Word doc. He gave it to us. We put it into a visual. So if you go to the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and you go onto the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids, you'll have one that's called How to Possess an Ardent Desire. So, you know, when I first read about having an ardent desire, Jesus says it's a requirement, but I didn't actually know what constitutes an ardent desire. So the recipe actually is found on that diagram, not by me, but by what Jesus explained to Luis and to us. So it's really important to know that. And again, like Mother said, we can do these natural acts all day long. We have to read, of course, the rounds, and we do our acts and the rounds in the divine will. But these impromptu acts, I mean, God gives us an opportunity every moment of every day, waking or sleeping for that matter. Sister?
Hello. Today I'd like to go over this preparation prayer that you do before you meditate on the 24 hours of the Passion. You know, when you prepare, it's very important to, you know, just before everything else, that you offer, you know, that you offer God what you are about to do. That's very important to have, you know, pure intention. And then that's the prevenient act that you do in the morning, like before you start the day, and it's going to also apply throughout the day. So prevenient act, you do it in the beginning of the day, and then it's going to set up, you know, the whole intention of the whole day. And then throughout the day, you act, you do the acts. At every moment you ask, you call Jesus and invite him to do it in your acts. So this prayer, preparation prayer, and, you know, with it help us to prepare to unite our love and our all intentions to put it into each hour of the Passion. And it helps to connect it to Jesus' intention. So this is the prayer. O my Lord Jesus, prostrate in your divine presence, I implore your most loving heart to admit me to the sorrowful meditation of the 24 hours in which for love of us you wanted to suffer so much in your adorable body and in your most holy soul unto death on the cross. So in this first sense, we know, we learn that, you know, we are putting ourselves in the before the presence of the Lord, and then we are entering into the Passion. And then, you know, there is a difference when you are in some place that you are just there because you are there, but it is different when you are there because you want to be there. So that's the difference, and it's really important. And that's what the preparation prayer makes a difference when you do it before you meditate on the 24 hours of Passion. And it also makes our decision more firm, and it renews our intention. So we put our whole heart with our mind, with our soul, and then we are asking God that we want to do this with uniting to the intention of Jesus. And then we are doing it, we are praying it with this intention that we want to complete it and carry it with the intention that with the same intention of Jesus. And truly that's the key of praying in the divine will. So we are first of all, we got to put ourselves before the Lord and then ask him that to help us to enter into the meditation, to enter into the mystery of his life. Continuing on, it says, "Oh, please give me help, grace, love, deep compassion, and understanding of your sufferings as I now meditate the hour." So here you are asking him for the grace. Here our soul becomes humble because we know that we don't have the adequate grace and love and deep compassion that are needed to truly console Jesus. And then continuing on, the prayer says, "And for those which I cannot meditate, I offer you my will to meditate on them, and I willingly intend to meditate on them in all the hours in which I have to apply myself to my duties or sleep." So here, when I was reading it, I really found this is a beautiful, and it really teaches us, the beauty of divine will, praying in the divine will. Because even if we can't do it, to pray, to meditate the whole 24 hours, we are offering our desire, our will. And then we are also with that intention, we are meditating the whole hour, even if we are like not physically doing it. Not physically doing it, with our intention, by offering our will, Jesus realizes it. So we know that God's love embraces everything. We know that his love embraces every moment of life. And then by meditating his passion, we realize that in every moment of his passion, that it is for love of all souls. And then it really makes us want to meditate the whole hour. And, with that intention, even though we are not doing it physically, reading the whole 24 hours, but we are meditating on the passion, Jesus' passion. And actually, it's also another way of doing rounds. We are visiting, all the redemptive events of Jesus. We are recognizing his love in every moment. And then we are accepting the teaching that he's showing in his love and his passion and make them on our own. And then we are discovering the ways how we can please him, how we can give him the consolation, reparation, the praise and honor and glory in many different ways. Louis actually, she does, and you can find in her prayers. And then with that, we are asking God for the divine kingdom, the kingdom of divine will to come on earth. So this is another really beautiful way of doing rounds and continue to meditate on his passion throughout the whole day. And it is possible with just having intention and offering our will, our desire.
Yeah, and Jesus tells us the importance too of praying the hours of the passion. He says if one person in a town or a city is praying it, that town or city will be spared the totality of the chastisements. Also, I wanted to mention to Mother quickly that the hours of the passion in both texts and audiobooks, because sometimes our eyes, after a lot of reading may cause us to be drowsy. But if you want to try to stay awake, perhaps listening might be the way to go. So the Hours of the Passion on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, is available not only in text, but also in audiobook, including the prayer before and after each hour. So I just want to mention that. Hello, sister. Hello, Mother. Okay.
We have a new postulant with us. She just arrived the other day, Sister Pamela. She's going to share something with us now.
Wonderful. Hello, Sister Pamela.
Hi, you all. How are you doing?
You're in good company.
So good. I want to go back to what Mother said and Sister Gemma about how living in a divine will is just the simplest thing. You just gotta trust Jesus and he's gonna do everything in you. You just gotta let him do and work within your soul. And that's why she's called, Luisa is called the little daughter of the divine will, because she was little, like she was so simple. And Jesus saw that in her, and he just worked wonderful works in her. And I want to read, it's on volume 11, March 15, 1912. The divine will is the sanctity of sanctities. Continuing in my usual state, I felt a great desire to do the most holy will of Blessed Jesus. And he, on coming, told me, "My daughter, my will is the sanctity of sanctities. The soul who does my will, however small, ignorant, unknown, leaves the other saints behind in spite of their prodigies, sensational conversions, and miracles. Rather, in comparison, the souls who do my will are queens, and it is as if all the others were at their service. It seems that the souls who do my will do nothing, while they do everything, because being in my will, they act in a divine manner." So yeah, we just go back to what Sister Gemma was sharing of how we can redo all the acts, even of the saints, and we can glorify God more and more. And even the saints get happier in heaven, and we receive the effects of that round. And it's wonderful because it amazes me that the divine will like contains everything and all, and it's not limited. Because we sometimes in the Catholic Church, they ask us like, "Oh, pray this novena for 9 days only, and you're gonna receive a grace." And yeah, it is wonderful, but God doesn't want to limit himself in only 9 days to like take the purgatories from souls. He wants to continue in that eternal act that it's always eternal and fiat. So we can just redo those prayers as well from other people who keeps praying, like in the Catholic Church, we uniting that intention with Jesus' intention. And we, in doing the divine will, we can give those effects also to other souls. And that's when the people get converted or they start being more faithful to God. So it's just, it amazes me that the divine will is in everything and it's everything. And I continue on the second paragraph. It says, "So they are the light that illuminates. They are winds that purify. They are fire that burns. They are miracles that make others do miracles. Those who do miracles are channels, but in these souls resides the power. Therefore, they are the foot of the missionary, the tongue of the preachers, the strength of the weak, the patience of the sick, the regime of the superiors, the obedience of the subjects, the tolerance of the slander, the firmness in dangers, the heroism of the heroes, the courage of the martyrs, the sanctity in the saints, and so with all the rest. Being in my will, they concord with all the good that can exist both in heaven and on earth." And also another thing that I want to share, when Mother and Father Elijah picked me up from Rome, we were on the car and we were asking ourselves, like, why is it so hard for people to like accept the divine will? And we all came to the conclusion, and Father Elijah said that it's because people don't have the right disposition and an open heart and mind to receive the divine truths. So it's just, you gotta be just simple, open, and Jesus is gonna do everything in you. You just gotta believe in him.
Thank you, Sister Pamela. That was eloquent. So many things to talk about there. I don't have time to touch it all, but you know, the sanctity of sanctities, again, that's powerful if we believe it. And if we don't believe it, it's not going to be powerful. And you know, when it comes to the novenas and everything that God has given to our church, he actually sums that up in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. He's very important here. He says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing that I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the means to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. So again, not to minimize it, but they've all been stepping stones, paths to get us to where we are now. So all roads lead to the divine will. And we've said that often. Again, we have to take a short break here, Mother and Sisters, but you're listening to the School of Mary with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Doors of Divine Will. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.